From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Yes, it is about that time, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Current Sports. As always, I am the man behind the mic, Al Martin. Folks, we've got an exciting show for you today, specifically when it comes to our guest. Folks, we will invite an NFL Hall of Famer. Yes, an NFL Hall of Famer on the show today. His name is Mike Haynes. Mike, of course, was a former NFL corner who played for the New England Patriots and the Los Angeles Raiders. He was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame back in 1997. And boy, oh boy, does he have a story to tell. He'll give us a preview of the upcoming matchup between the Pats and the Seahawks this Sunday and also talk about his heroic fight against prostate cancer, folks. So Mike will be joining me on the show. We'll be also talking about the MSU women's basketball team, the Detroit Pistons, and also throwing it back like we do each and every Thursday with Throwback Thursday. But first, let's throw to our current sports quick hit headliners for this January 29th, brought to you by the one, the only, Chris Haller.
I'm Chris Haller, and here are your current sports headliners for January 29th. Helping to continue the success of Michigan State University athletics, Mark and Cindy Pentecost have made a $3 million leadership gift that will support the men's basketball program. The donation, in support of Empower Extraordinary, a campaign for Michigan State, will be used to update the men's basketball offices, practice facilities, and establish an endowment for continued facility improvements. Their gift is one of the largest ever to MSU athletics and is the third gift of $3 million or greater received by athletics since the public launch of Empower Extraordinary in October of 2014. MSU men's basketball is back in action tonight against Rutgers. The two teams were originally slated to meet Tuesday, but a snowstorm postponed the game. Game time is scheduled for 6 p.m. on the Big Ten Network. A winning week for MSU will go a long way to help keep its NCAA tournament streak alive. Michigan State women's basketball picked up a big win last night at the Breslin Center with a 72-57 victory over Indiana. The Spartans improved to 11-10 on the season and 3-7 in Big Ten play. Tori Jankowska scored a career-high 28 points in the victory, while Dow High recorded a double-double with 12 points and 14 rebounds. MSU will be back in action Monday night when they travel to play Ohio State. Michigan State girls basketball coach Susie Merchant announced last night that senior center Jasmine Hines will miss the rest of the season due to lingering concussion symptoms. Hines has been sidelined the last 2 months and has only played in 8 games this season. Merchant pointed to the fact that Hines has done very little in practice, and getting her back in game shape would be near impossible. The team expects Hines to return next season healthy. Scored 2 points for Mark D'Antonio in Michigan State recruiting. Ohio football twins Andrew and David Dowell have made verbal commitments to sign with the Spartans. The double signing gives MSU 18 verbal commitments for the class of 2015. Andrew Dowell is projected as a running back, while David is expected to see time as a defensive back. The Detroit Pistons finished up their fourth game in 5 nights with a loss to the lowly Philadelphia 76ers, 89-69. Greg Monroe led all scorers with 20 points and 11 rebounds. The Pistons are on a 4-game losing streak and winless in the post-Brandon Jennings era. Coach Stan Van Gundy called the team's effort both embarrassing and humiliating. The Cavaliers beat out the Blazers last night 99-94 with Kyrie Irving beasting 55 points, starting off 0-for-7 from the field. This is his career high in the fourth most points scored in NBA history by a player whose team did not score at least 100 points in the game. Irving follows behind George Mikan, Michael Jordan, and LeBron James. King James sat out the game last night because of a sprained wrist. He got the injury Tuesday playing the Detroit Pistons. Cavs take on the Sacramento Kings tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. The Detroit Red Wings are back in action tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The puck will be dropped at 7:30 p.m. with the game being televised on Fox Sports Detroit. Number 1 seed Serena Williams defeated Madison Keys last night in the semifinals 7-6 and 6-2. Williams will move on to face number 2 seed Maria Sharapova in the finals on Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. Williams and Sharapova have not met in a match since 2004. The top 2 seeds will meet at Melbourne Park in the women's singles final. Williams is the oldest player to reach an Australian Open at the age of 33. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, you can call in at 517-355-9527.
My man, appreciate that. Again, as the man just said, our phone lines are open and they will stay open like each and every Monday through Friday here on the show, all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also, if you're a little bit shy and don't want to call in and let your voice be heard over our airways, you can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or even leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. We've already got a few tweets here. Just to you know, read a few here. From Andrew Hayes. Andrew wants to chime in on the MSU men's basketball team. Andrew says, at what point does Tom Izzo have to stop tinkering and just let his players figure it out? Valentine can't produce because he's been in foul trouble for 3 weeks. Interesting tweet there. And, you know, Andrew, there is some truth to that. Since you asked the question, man, at what point does Izzo have to stop tinkering? I think he has to do as much tinkering as possible right now to try and figure out a lineup that works. There are a few lineups that seem to, I guess you can say, produce a more efficient offense for this team. You know, I love the lineup of having Bryn Forbes in there with Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine, and then probably throwing Gavin Schilling and Brandon Dawson in there. I think when you have those five in there, they provide you with energy and a little bit of offense, at least more offense than any other lineup does. So at the same time, I think just Izzo is just trying to figure this whole thing out. So I can't blame him for tinkering with the lineup. But there is that essence as well that, hey, sometimes you just got to let your players play through the garbage and maybe they will emerge as a swine. But I think Tom Izzo has done that to a degree multiple times this year. It just hasn't happened. Big game for them tonight, though. They play Rutgers tonight, of course, as that game was postponed from earlier this week. We've also got Jock DeWitt, who tweets me. He has a cool Twitter name, at RockerJock. Gotta love that. Jock believes that DJ Augustine is a starting point guard in this league. He says DJ Augustine could start on half of the teams in the NBA. And then he says he has great vision, he shoots the ball deep, decent defender, great decision maker, and he's still young. Interesting perspective there, Jock. I just don't agree with you, my man. I think DJ Augustine, don't get me wrong, he's a great offensive talent. He can certainly put the ball in the bucket. But at the end of the day, I think he's just a suitable backup point guard. And you're starting to see this too. I mean, anytime you lose to the 76ers, I mean, come on. The 76ers, woe is me. I'm hitting panic mode right now because, you know, Brandon Jennings goes out for the rest of the season. And then you lose. They haven't won a game since that, as Chris just stated. And they lost to the worst team in the NBA statistically, the Philadelphia 76ers. This ain't pretty, folks. You'll get my thoughts on what moves they should make, if any. We'll also dive into that conversation. So thanks a lot to Andrew and Jack for tweeting me. Again, just tweet me at AlMartinWKAR, and I will read your tweets just like I did just now. Live on the air here during Current Sports. I want to give a big, huge, humongous, earth-shattering shout-out to everyone that showed up to last night's Current Sports TV taping. Man, I haven't had that much fun in weeks on a Wednesday night. I mean, you guys were fantastic. We had members of the Mid-Michigan Spartans come on out. We had about 7 or 8 students come on out. I mean, we had a good time. It was a fantastic time. One of the best audiences we've ever had at Current Sports TV. And Ken Manny was a fabulous, fabulous guest. So tonight, Ken Manny, of course, the head strength and conditioning coach of Michigan State. He was my guest last night on Current Sports TV. You guys know we tape on Wednesday nights and we air it on Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Now, I know it's a big night on TV. I know Scandal is coming back with Kerry Washington and company. And I know How to Get Away with Murder with Viola Davis is coming back. But hey, watch those shows. I'm not saying don't watch them, but you better make sure you at least DVR Current Sports, okay? DVR it because you will miss out if you do not, okay? So, again, that's tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Again, my guest, Ken Manny, and I, we had a fabulous discussion that ranged from his 20 years here at Michigan State all the way into the realm of PED use in sports and his experience, his firsthand experience when dealing with it, as a coach. So you don't want to miss that test tonight at 10 p.m. I have one extended headliner for you all that I actually had to had to do a double take on my laptop when I read about it. This is real, folks. I kid you not. Detroit Kaz Tech, their girls basketball team, blanked the hapless Detroit Osborn team. Get this. 80 to nothing. I kid you not, folks. This happened last night. 80 to nothing. Can you believe that? Coach Marissa Thrower, she took the starters out in the second half, so she didn't try to run up the score. It's not like she just was like, all right, yeah, wait, we're just going to pound the ball left and right. We're blowing them out. Let's continue to blow them out. I mean, she tried. She put in her second she took the starters out, put in the second string players in the second half, and she tried to keep the score down, but Osborn just couldn't muster up a single point. But I just could not believe that. I couldn't believe it. So again, that happened. That did happen, folks. It's the most lopsided victory I've ever seen in high school hoops. But hey, sometimes that's how youth sports go. Okay, I mean, you have lopsided victories like that. I've just never seen 80 to nothing. Oh man, that's crazy stuff. All right, folks. Well, again, we got a hot show for you. I'm excited because we continue our Super Bowl week here on Current Sports by inviting again NFL Hall of Famer Mike Haynes. Mike Haynes will be joining me near the tail end of the show, so you are going to want to keep it locked. Keep it locked right here to WKAR. I tell you what, man, Mike has an incredible story, not only during his playing days on the football field, in which, he was one of the best to ever play, folks, one of the best to hit the gridiron. Unbelievable. I mean, he played corner for the Patriots and also the L.A. Raiders at the time. Of course, L.A. has no football team right now, but the Los Angeles did at one point. They were the Raiders, not the Oakland Raiders, but the L.A. Raiders back in the day. And Mike Haynes was a standout. He was inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame out in 97. But an interesting revelation happened during that very weekend. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to have Mike on the show, because I tell you what, it's riveting stuff, folks. And he has started a pretty admirable campaign to sort of raise awareness on this issue that has certainly plagued many. It's plagued a few in my family, my own family. You'll get to hear about what it is and hear about that campaign later on in the show, so you want to keep it locked. But first, I want to start the show by talking about the MSU women's basketball team. Now, as you just heard from Chris, the Michigan State women's basketball team, they continue to roll, folks. That's two in a row. So I don't know how big of a roll it is, but still, two in a row, okay? They get a big one last night at the Breslin Center with a 72-57 win over Indiana. Now, they improved to 11-10 on the season, 3-7 in the Big Ten. Tori Jankowska, man, she was hot, folks. 28 points, 11 rebounds for her. And then it's so crazy because, I always said, Tori Jankowska and Ariel Powers, both, they are the engine behind this team, at least offensively. When you need buckets, you go to Tori Jankowska or Ariel Powers. And they both had 28 points, both of them now, 28 points and 11 rebounds. Identical games. How about that? That's pretty cool stuff. And for Jankowska, what makes it so amazing is that she had no turnovers and she hit 5 3-pointers. Talk about being in a zone. I mean, hey, those are Al Jordan numbers, folks. I mean, that's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And also Becca Mills, the three-headed horse that they have, 12 points, 14 rebounds for her. I was in the house, of course, after taping Current Sports TV. I went down there and covered that game and had to ask Susie. I mean, great. If you look at the stat sheet, great points, great rebounds from this team, great efficiency overall. But again, they're playing with seven healthy bodies, and hey, they're playing a lot of minutes, folks. So I had to ask Susie that very thing. When does fatigue become a factor?
Susie, Jankowska, Morrissey, and Powers. Powers was almost 40 minutes. I mean, how is this team, when you talk about fatigue, how big is fatigue a factor when playing, when you have players playing that amount of time?
Yeah, I mean, that's where, like, when Ariel gets turnovers, every time you could tell it's because she's exhausted. She, loses the ball. She over tries. We make mistakes defensively, at that time. It's not intentional. It's just, the kids whipped. But I don't know. At this stage, the issue is, you get into league play and you can look at it. Most people are seven deep. Some teams are only six deep. Some are only five, and they have more kids they can put in. But they, their starters are logging 33, 34, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, depending on, like, Nebraska. I mean, they're starting five to, you know, the ends of the earth, and they got other kids they can put in terms of depth. But I think with us, you know, what we try to manage now, Els, is a little bit more, they've been doing this the entire season, and that's the difference, you know, not just the Big Ten season. They've been really logging a lot of minutes all year long because of our depth and injuries and stuff like that. So, you know, they get a little more fatigued. So, like I said, we're trying to do a couple different things to give them a little bit more time to rest and recover mentally and physically. And last two games, it's worked for us. So we're going to try to hopefully keep doing that.
Yeah, they're playing a lot of minutes, folks. A lot of minutes. Again, if you look at Ariel Powers in her minutes yesterday, I mean, she had with like 36, 38 minutes. That's almost a full game. I mean, folks, we're talking about 20 minutes a half. That's a full game, okay? And, you know, talking with Ariel Powers after the game, I mean, she talked about how, I mean, her Achilles seemed a little sore, her calves were a bit sore. And what Susie is doing right now after these games is, folks, they're not going full throttle in practice. Not at all. I mean, you know, talking with Becca Mills last night, the last time this team has gone through an entire practice, a physical practice, running sets and whatnot, running plays left and right, was like 2 weeks ago, 2 or 3 weeks ago, folks. It's been that long. I mean, because Susie doesn't want to risk any fathom of a possible injury if she doesn't have to. If an injury is going to happen, you know what's going to happen? It's going to happen in a game. Other than that, she spent a lot of time in the film room. If they do go out on the court, it's just a walkthrough. Just a walkthrough, folks. So, but big games from the Big Three. Again, 28-11 for Jankowska and Powers. Becca Mills with 12 points, 14 rebounds. And you know what's interesting, folks? I don't know if you all have looked at the Big Ten standings right now, but I tell you what, this team is not out of the Big Ten race. Not at all. I mean, you would think, I mean, looking at the start that Susie and her team has had to start the Big Ten Conference, I mean, many people would have pronounced this team dead. Point blank, period. Even I did at one point. I'm sitting there like, oh my goodness. I mean, Susie, her luck for this season with everything that's gone down, I mean, they started with 0-5 before they got their first win in conference play. But if you look at the standings, folks, Michigan State is still in the thick of things. So right now, Michigan State, they improved to 3-7. They are in 11th place statistically in the Big Ten Conference. And everyone else, you know, other than Maryland and Iowa, who are Maryland 8-0 in the conference, Iowa at 7-1. I mean, hey, Michigan State is just three wins away from being in third or fourth place in the Big Ten Conference. That is remarkable, folks, because you got teams like Rutgers who are 5-3, Michigan also 5-3, Ohio State 5-3, Northwestern at 4-4. Michigan State is a win or two away from being in that second tier of top Big Ten teams. And that's something she's constantly reminding her team. You know, Susie is saying, hey, guys, have you looked at the standings lately? There's a lot of teams out there that aren't doing well in conference play. And, hey, we've been lucky. We've been lucky enough to now corral three victories, and we are still in this fight. So this is a big stretch. They enter now a key stretch. They will go on the road to play Ohio State, again, a team who is 5-3, right near that middle of the pack in the Big Ten Conference. Then they, of course, return home to play the University of Michigan, and then they play Minnesota, a team who sits in third of the Big Ten. So Minnesota, out of the next three games, Minnesota, of course, will be their biggest challenge. But I tell you what, let's just say they get a win over Ohio State and Michigan. I mean, how big would that be? So don't pronounce them dead, folks. Again, it's I always say, man, basketball season especially, is a marathon. It's not a sprint, and Susie is reminding her team each and every game of that very thing. Folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Okay, can I vent really quick here, folks? The Detroit Pistons. Yes, the Detroit Pistons have fallen to the league's worst NBA team, the Philadelphia 76ers. And I tell you what, they finished up their fourth game in five nights with a loss to those 76ers, an 89-69 game. So we're not even talking about a close game, folks. That's a blowout. They get blown out by 20 points against the league's worst team. Now, Greg Monroe led all scorers with 20 points and 11 rebounds. They are now on a four-game losing streak and winless in the post-Brandon Jennings era. And Stan Van Gundy, I don't know if you saw his press conference, but he was not a happy man, and deservingly so. definitely frustrated, and he called his team's effort embarrassing and humiliating. I agree with him 100%. I mean, anytime you lose to the 76ers, that is definitely embarrassing and humiliating. And let's just get to the bottom of this. We know that Brandon Jennings, no, just as much as Josh Smith was such a hindrance to this team, Brandon Jennings was that much and more of an asset to the Detroit Pistons team. And having him out for the rest of the year and looking at the incredible run that he was on, again, he was a top five point guard, folks, in the past few weeks. Again, he had the 20 and 21 game, 21 assist game. I mean, that's unbelievable. Then he goes out for the rest of the season. And then you say, okay, who's going to step up now? Well, the obvious targets, the numero uno target is, of course, DJ Augustine. Now, of course, Jack tweeted us and said that he believes that DJ Augustine is a starting point guard in this league. I beg to differ. I don't think he has those intangibles. He's a solid backup. He can come in, give you some solid minutes. But as far as manhandling that starting role, I mean, he's not an offensive juggernaut. He plays decent defense. I wouldn't put him up there. I wouldn't put him in the conversation of as a starting point guard in the league. I mean, you can put him as starter, but I don't know how much success you're going to have. Right now, this team needs a point guard, and I do think the Pistons are going to make a move. Stan Van Gundy talked yesterday, right on the brink of that game yesterday, that he does believe that the Pistons are going to make a move. They are in those final processes of kind of looking around and seeing what's available. A few names, two names that have been thrown out left and right is Nate Robinson and Jordan Farmar. Now, out of those two guards, of course, Jordan Farmar would fit Stan Van Gundy's system more. A guy who can score a little bit, but is mainly a facilitator, without a doubt. Nate Robinson, I mean, he likes to get his. He's not known as a facilitator at the point guard position. They don't want to get a point guard, and they cannot get a point guard, if you ask me. That is a big financial commitment. They already got Brandon Jennings, Spencer Dinwiddie, and, yes, DJ Augustine already in contracts. You don't want to, if you do sign a guy, it's got to be for a short-term contract for not a lot of money. Who is willing to do that? Hey, it may be Jordan Farmar. Who knows? So, I tell you what, man, looking at last night's game, looking at this entire stretch, it seemed as though this team has gone back into relying on the three-point shot. They went 2-for-20 from behind the arc, folks. 2-for-20 from behind the arc. And they're trying to, and if you remember, that's something that, when Josh Smith was let go from the team, it seemed as though the Pistons relied on that three-point shot. And it was working for them. They got a lot of guys that can hit the three, without a doubt. But as soon as Brandon started to elevate his game and get more guys involved, you not only started to see the three get knocked down, but you didn't see a reliance on it. You saw the ball being dumped in the post to Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe. You saw guys like Jody Meeks, who can shoot the blood out of the ball, start putting the ball on the ground and going to the paint. You started to see the Pistons scoring in multiple areas. They have now become a one-dimensional team offensively, and it's not hard to shut down a one-dimensional team. Again, 2-for-20 last night, and they went a horrid 8-for-44 from the field. It's bad. I'm hurting, folks. I'm hurting. Alex Shark, let's invite him to the show, our outstanding engineer for current sports, before we hit the break. Alex, how you doing, my man?
Pretty well, and yeah, I feel your pain on the Pistons. I watched the game last night, and a couple quick notes. And to start, the DJ Augustine argument, if he's a true starting point guard, I do have to say that out of all the players on the Pistons, and especially last night, he, in my eyes, was the only guy out to go and create any plays. I thought he was the only guy to drive into the paint. He was very good at passing. I liked Jock's tweet earlier and that I think that he could start on some other teams. Is he as dynamic of a player than Brandon Jennings? I don't know. But I do think that the Pistons can win with him to start.
I disagree. I disagree. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Anytime he starts and you lose to the 76ers, I don't know how much weight that argument holds at all. I do think he can score. I mean, he showed you that the first game that Brandon Jennings went out, if you remember, they played Toronto and he had 33 points. He can definitely score. But does he fit as a perfect puzzle piece in the whole Stan Van Gundy era and scheme? No, not at all. And I think you need a guy. You need a guy who has that balance. If he is a great scorer, he's going to have to be a great facilitator first. And I just don't think that Spencer can do that. And again, you got him starting last night and you get blown out by 20 points to the 76ers? Again, I don't know how much weight that argument holds. They know they got to make a move. Stan Van Gundy talked about it. He talked about it yesterday. They know they have to make a move right now. And he said at the earliest, it would happen today. At the earliest. At the latest, he didn't give a timetable for that. They're trying to make a move to get a point guard. Who will it be? That's the big question. You're going to see it the next few days, though.
And here's the other thing last night is he was talking. I mean, we read it in the headliners. He wasn't impressed with the effort last night. Andre Drummond was probably the only guy in that team that really gave a lot of effort overall. I mean, he kept them in the game with his defensive play. He played really well. But a lot of the big guys just couldn't hit their shots, Al.
Yeah. No, I agree. You know, and I've called out Andre Drummond and Greg Monroe to being the factors that if there is going to be a turnaround, those two have to play better. So, but right now, man, it's so tough because, you know, just looking at Detroit sports right now, I mean, the Lions lose on a very controversial call. Then you look at the Pistons now. Brandon Jennings goes out for the year. I mean, man, can Detroit sports catch a break? I mean, my goodness. I mean, it's frustrating. It's certainly frustrating, to say the least, to watch. So, all right, folks. Well, again, Michigan State men's basketball team, they play tonight. They play tonight. Again, that game got postponed earlier this week because of that incredible blizzard that hit the northeast part of the U.S. of A. So they will play tonight, folks. Interested to see what kinks are being ironed out. And you talk about effort. Effort is the big thing that I've been calling out MSU men's basketball on. So we actually have a caller on line one who wants to talk about the MSU men's basketball game tonight. John, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, man? Good talking to you.
Yeah, you too, my man.
Hey, what are your thoughts on the next two games, man? We need to string together some victories if our team does.
No, I agree.
Tonight with Rutgers, man, they need to blow them out, like 20-point win.
And why do you think they need a blowout, John?
They need to send a message, man, that they aren't for real team. You know, their team is for real.
Right. That's true.
I think they are. I think they're not playing up to their potential. I think they're definitely not playing up to their potential.
No, I agree,
John. They got
a
lot of talent on that team.
Yeah, and you know, it's so crazy for me because I think that when you look at the foundational problems for Tom Izzo's team right now, is that one, and these are not new problems here. You know, I'm not opening a brand new present when I say this.
Yeah.
Right now, Michigan State doesn't play defense, and that's something I've never thought I'd ever say. And right now, their half-court offense looks stagnant.
Yeah,
those are the two glaring things for me right now, John.
Yeah, and missed layups, man. Like, Brandon Dawson, the guy, you know, he gets the double-double, but how many easy bunny shots does he miss?
Right. I agree. I mean, right there. I mean, those are shots that can totally turn around the game, and from a confidence standpoint, could boost your confidence a little bit. I mean, let's just say Brandon makes one of those. I mean, we all know that Brandon is an ebb and flow type of player. When he's hitting shots from the early part of the game on, I mean, he's fantastic. But when those shots don't go down, I mean, it seems as though his confidence goes just poof.
I mean, this is the same team that, you know, had an overtime loss to Notre Dame. Look how good Notre Dame is.
Right. Exactly. Hey, they beat Duke last night. Exactly. Yeah,
you know, they blew out Indiana by 20. Indiana's been ranked up until the last two games.
Right, I agree,
you know,
John.
I mean, so this team has, you know, a lot of potential. They need to give back, like you said, maximum effort on defense, the half court offense. I think the team really needs to get out and run as much as possible. I think that's their strong point. And if they can do that, I think they can beat. You know, they can win games.
Right. That's your strong suit. You talk about the struggles offensively. Again, as you said, John. I mean, when this team is in transition, they are one of the best in the nation. But when you got teams that can get back and defend those transitional opportunities, you force Michigan State to set up a half-court set, I mean, my goodness, it's ugly to watch. It's ugly to watch sometimes, John.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the accolades of the guys that came in. I mean, these guys should be playing better. I mean, Matt Costello, Mr. Basketball. Denzel Valentine, I think he was runner-up for Mr. Basketball that year, right?
I believe so. He was in a lot of talks, actually. Every single year he was in high school, yeah.
I mean, Travis Trice, the guy can score 25 a game sometimes and then not show up the next game.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, these guys got incredible, you know, a lot better talent than what they're showing out there, I think. That's my personal take on it.
That's true. Hey, John, my man, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate
that. Always good talking to you. I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you very much.
Always, John. All right, we got another caller online, too. Michael, how you doing, Michael? Welcome to the show.
What's up, man? Thanks. What I was going to ask you, what do you think of, I know Notre Dame beat Duke last, I don't know if you watched that game or not, but what do you think about students rushing the floor after a big victory like that? Do you think that is this something wrong with that, or is just something that that the students should have the right to do.
Oh, they should have the right to do it, Mike. They should have the right to do it. I didn't catch the game. I was actually covering the women's basketball game, but I did see a little bit of the highlights. But we've had this debate before on the show. I mean, I love seeing students rush the court. I mean, hey, I was in college once. I mean, it's fun. It's a part of the college atmosphere. You get a big win like that against one of the best college basketball coaches to ever walk the earth in Coach K. You knock them off. Hey, if they want to rush the court, let them rush the court. It's part of the essence of what makes college sports great. I loved it. I don't see any quarrels with it at all, Mike.
Do you think when the last time Michigan State did it?
Oh man, I don't know, Alex. You know, can you answer that one? I don't remember the last time Michigan State has rushed the floor. I don't think when I was in college at all. You know, because I was here at Michigan State from 08 to 2012. I don't remember any of the rushing in the court during that time. And since I've been a journalist in here in the area, I mean, I've never seen it before. I don't know. I couldn't really tell you that one, Mike.
Okay, you was talking about Detroit Cavs Tech beating Detroit Osborne 80-0.
Yeah.
Do you remember? Do you think women's basketball still got a way to go to catch up to the men in talent?
Certainly.
Certainly,
Mike. And I think that's an obvious answer right there, man. I mean, if you look at the overall ratings of an average women's college basketball game or even a WNBA game at the pro level, I mean, even going to a Michigan State women's basketball game, I mean, there's a vast difference in popularity when comparing those two. And I think there's a lot of factors and intangibles to that. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, watching a men's game, when you have all this athleticism, you can see a dunk and flashy plays left and right, to compared to the girls' game, where you really have to appreciate basketball to really appreciate what they do. Because I think there are some incredible athletes that play women's basketball, but at the same time, it doesn't come with that same flair and that same athleticism that you see on a nightly basis in the men's game. So, and you're starting to see that transition a little bit when you got players like a phenom in Brittany Griner, because I think she is unbelievably talented and athletic, but it's going to take more than her to rise the level of popularity. You know what I mean? Hey, people like that ooh and ah factor, and you don't get too many oohs and ahs when you watch a women's basketball game. Just simple as that.
Do you think because it's a societal issue? Because it's like I watch women's basketball, but they always put it on like Sunday when the pro football's on and pro basketball on. They put it like on a Thursday night. Do you think if Connecticut ain't playing like a Tennessee or this year or South Carolina, do you think the interest is – I know they're doing that to put show games on these cable networks these conferences got. But do you think eventually that the talent level it's going to get better talent-wise? Do you think it's going to make more people, more girls interested in just doing basketball? Because I looked at that score down in Detroit, and I said, man, how could that be like that, man? I'm serious.
Right, I'm telling you, yeah. I mean, I had to do a double take when I saw that score. But as far as where, if it would have ever reached the popularity of a men's game, and is it growing? I do think it's growing because you're starting to see more faces and more stars in the women's game. I mean, another one I can bring up other than Brittany Griner is Skylar Diggins. I mean, just look at the popularity of Skylar Diggins right now. I mean, she signs with Jay-Z's Roc Nation. I mean, she's everywhere. I mean, she's on posters. She's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. She's doing Nike commercials. They need that face. They need that marketable athlete, and not just one. They need a few of them to come into the game and really say, hey, this is our game, and we're pretty good at it. Watch us. Point blank, period. Once they get those few superstars, they have to do a great job at marketing them and, yeah, putting those games on the primetime stage. It's going to take more, though. It's going to take more than just having these great athletes. Marketing is going to be so big in this conversation, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you two more questions, and I'll let you get to the rest of the show here.
All right.
They suspended the coach for having the girls score 161 points in California, and other teams score too. Do you think they should have suspended the coach for that?
Not at all, man. You know, hey, as far as my take on that, I'm a competitor, Mike. I've always been a competitor, man. If you're competing and, you know, all this thing about running up the score and whatnot, hey, if you're winning, you're winning. You know what I mean? Stop me. Point blank, please do something to stop me. That's my mentality when it comes to it. So from a competitive standpoint, I understand. Again, it can get to a point where it gets ridiculous. Throw your second string out there, you know. But at the same time, playing sports, it's about winning at the end of the day. I'm just saying. I mean, and at the youth level, there's other intangibles. Yeah, you want to teach sportsmanship and how to win, how to lose, all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm trying to win, my man. You know, so I don't think you should have got suspended.
Here's the last question. I'm going to let you answer this off the air. When you were playing high school ball, did your high school team ever get blowed out by a huge margin? You and your producer could talk about that. I'll just take it off the air. Thanks for letting me talk.
Thanks a lot, Mike. For me personally, Alex, nah. We were pretty good, man. You know, back in high school, not to toot my own horn, but hey. Going back to high school ball, oh, man, I miss it too, man. I never really got – we didn't get blown out. I mean, we got beat. Probably if I had to recall the biggest blowout I had in high school ball, probably had to be like 15 points, you know? Like 15
or
something.
Oh, you had a good team, yeah. There were times where my team lost by like 30 points, maybe 40. Okay. But we played some pretty – I mean, we'd play like Country Day sometimes and a couple of really good Detroit schools. But hey, I mean, if the score is going up like that, the times that I've been in somewhat of blowout games, the teams have been pretty cool about it, putting their second string and kind of easing up. So I kind of hear where Mike's coming from, where there is that other side where, yeah, you are competing to win, but you're also competing in a way where it's good sportsmanship. You want to have people enjoy the game. And sometimes when you're playing and you're winning that badly, it gets a little unfun.
No, I agree. And I think it depends on the level of competition that it is. In the pros, hey, I don't care. I mean, these guys are getting paid millions and millions of dollars. If another pro team is blowing out another pro team, hey, stop me. You know what I mean? I don't care. I'm competing. You know what I mean? But at the youth level, there's more intangibles to it. There's more layers to that conversation because when you're still young, when you're in high school and playing pal league ball and playing in elementary school, I mean, you try to teach kids values of the game. There's value in losing, there's value in winning, and there's a way to handle yourself when doing both. But at the pro level, these are grown men and grown women we're talking about. If I'm blowing you out, hey, I'm putting my foot on the gas, point blank, period. So I think it varies with the level. I believe, Alice, we have another caller right here on line one. My man Austin, how you doing? You are on Current Sports.
Al, what's up, man? How you doing?
Man, we haven't heard from Austin in a while. How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Just living it up out here in South Bend, you know, in Notre Dame country now.
In South Bend. Wow. How is that, my man?
Hey, it's pretty cool. I tell you what, I got a story for you. The previous caller, he was talking about Skylar Diggins.
Yeah.
I had to run to the store after church one Sunday. I was suited and booted, man. I was sharp. You know, I had the Cole Haan shoes on, nice suit. And in walks Meyer, Skylar Diggins, man. She was with her boyfriend, but I seen her check me out and wink at me, man. I said, hey, if I die today, I'm a happy man.
Tell you what. What time did you wake up from that dream, Austin? What time did you wake up from that dream? That's unbelievable.
Al, you know I'm a fly brother. Come on now. Come on, man.
Okay, touche. Touche, my man. Wow, what a story, Al. I'm jealous, Austin. I'm jealous, man.
Yeah, man. So if you ever want to meet, just let me know, and I'll see if I can set that up for you.
I'll have my people talk to your people.
Right, exactly. Hey, man, I just wanted to say, first off, I missed the show, man. This is my favorite sports show.
Oh, man, nice.
First there's Mike and Mike, then I mean, first there's Al Martin, then there's Mike and Mike.
But, okay, thank you. We appreciate it, Austin. Austin, you just became our number one caller on the show, man.
Hey, man, appreciate it. No, I just wanted to talk about Michigan State basketball, man. You know, I think it's time to start recruiting a little better. I mean, because you look at Matt Costello, he was Mr. Basketball, but he played at a Class C, Class B high school. And competing at Michigan State on the level that Tom Izzo wants us to play, man, I don't know if that – I don't know if he did it.
Oh, do we have Austin still? Is he still there?
Five-star player. Mm-hmm. Nice, man. But I think just recruit a little better.
So, you know, because historically, and this is the thing about Tom Izzo's recruiting. I mean, Tom isn't going to – do you still hear me out? Do we still have him, Austin?
Yeah, I'm still here, man.
Gotcha. You know, the thing about Tom Izzo's recruiting history is that, you know, he hasn't really been able to land – those Jahlil Okafors, you know what I mean? Those Jabari Parkers, the guys who can ideally go one and done when they get to college. You know, I think there's, you talk about layers to a conversation. This one has so many layers because there's a lot of high school players out there that want that quick ticket to the NBA. when they look at Tom Izzo's program and they see that historically, players who come to his program, who make it to the NBA, stay at least 3 to 4 years, they say, well, why would I go to Michigan State when I can go to Kentucky? They have a new starting five every year. I could go to the NBA every single, in 1 year I could be in the NBA making millions and millions of dollars. So I think Tom Izzo, it's not that he's not trying. I think his history is biting him in that conversation. You know?
I also look at the I think we could, Michigan State basketball could be a little better at developing players, because there's no reason why this year Brandon Dawson can't dribble, can't knock down a jump shot. Because if he could, his game would be deadly. I mean, looking in history, looking at Raymar Morgan, his freshman season, he was averaging 15 to 17 points. And by his senior year, you know, he got real stagnant. The only player that I've seen in time that's gotten better progressively over the years was Goran Suton, Draymond Green, those kind of players. So I think also the development of players can be a little better. And that comes from the player having to want it himself at some point, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. And you know what's so interesting, though, because if you remember, Austin, in last year's NCAA tourney, heck, I can even go back to before that, to the Big Ten tournament, Brandon Dawson, that little 15-footer became his bread and butter, and he was knocking it down on a consistent basis. It was unbelievable.
He doesn't shoot it anymore, man.
Right. He doesn't shoot it anymore, and it was so amazing, because you remember, like, the first game in last year's tourney, he had something like 30 points. Unbelievable performance.
Yeah, when he came back off that injury.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. And we just haven't seen that same Brandon Dawson. And for me, looking at Brandon Dawson's game, Austin, and how he's kind of been, first off, I think he's been an unbelievable, he's an unbelievable guy when it comes to rebounding. I mean, you see him, he's among the league leaders in the Big Ten as far as rebounding goes. When it comes to creating his own offense, he struggles. He definitely struggles. And I think it's all a confidence thing with him. When Brandon Dawson gets fully engaged and is able to see that ball go through the bucket early in that game, it has a trickle-down effect, and he plays great the entire game. If he struggles early, you better believe he's going to struggle throughout that entire game. It's all about how finely tuned that engine starts, not the way it ends.
Exactly. I tell you what the problem is. I'm not on the drums anymore at the breath. So, Al, but it was good talking to you, man. Hey, definitely wanted to see the name of the show to the crew that Al's on.
Austin is trying to change the 12th man to the Al Zone. I'm going to throw it to my producers. I think it's a great idea. I told you it was a great idea. Maybe, I don't know, maybe we can get that. I'll have to send you a check in the mail if we do that, Austin.
All right, cool. Hey, tell Alex I said what's up, too. Y'all have a good one, man.
Hey, you do the same, Austin. Man, I miss Austin. Yep. Alex, man, Austin is the man. You know, he was a real good buddy of mine in college, man. He was just a dedicated caller, man. So we appreciate it. All right, folks, again, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. Let's hit. This is our first break on the show. Man, you guys have been fully engaged today. We appreciate it. When we come back, we will invite our guest for today's Current Sports, Mike Haynes, former NFL corner for the Patriots and Raiders, NFL Hall of Famer. Mike will join me in just a sec. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870.
And I forget to do. I've got you.
Man, Frank Sinatra, right, Alex? Gotta love that. Frank Sinatra here on Throwback Thursday. One of the greatest to ever do it. Such a smooth. Man, I tell you what, if I could sing, man, I would not be rocking the mic on Current Sports. I'd be rocking the mic in another way, okay? Man, oh, man. If I could sing, boy, oh, boy. Platinum hits, all right? Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this January 29th. Happy Thursday, folks. You guys know that each and every Thursday, we love to have a lot of fun here on the show. And we do that by hopping in our Current Sports time machine and taking a look back at what exactly happened on this particular Thursday in sports history. We like to dub it Throwback Thursday here on Current Sports. Hey, let's start it.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
I
Anderson, the tackle over his step. Into the slot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. Goal! And there it goes! You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
Oh, yes. Throwback Thursday. How about that montage, huh? Where each and every Thursday here on Current Sports, we take a look at what exactly happened on this Thursday in sports history. Well, let's start this thing off back in 1936. The first members of Major League Baseball's Hall of Fame were named in Cooperstown, New York. Now, they were Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, Honus Wagner, Christy Mathewson, and Walter Johnson. How about that? The very first members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's unbelievable. 1936 is when that began, folks. What a class. What a class that was. All right, 1985, Jari Kurri of the Edmonton Oilers set an NHL record when he scored his 100th point in the 39th game of the season. How about that? Shout out to Kurri. Again, 100th point in his career in the 39th game of the season back in 1985. In 1989, talking about singing, this guy can certainly do that. Billy Joel sang the U.S. national anthem at the Super Bowl. How about that? That happened back in 1989. In 1995, the San Francisco 49ers became the first team in the National Football League to win 5 Super Bowl titles. How impressive is that? I mean, I tell you what, I have gone on record many times to say, I'm biased because I grew up a big fan of his. I think that Jerry Rice is the greatest football player of all time. I mean, from his hands, from his intangibles of the game, from his work ethic to how he handled himself off the field, Jerry Rice is the creme de la creme of what a football player should be. Of course, he was on that team. Again, San Francisco 49ers. First team in NFL history to win 5 Super Bowl titles. A true dynasty. I think you can, there's much to be said about the New England Patriots also, because the Patriots in our modern era is a dynasty. Point blank, period. And I think you got two dynasties going at it in this Sunday Super Bowl, because let's just say Seattle wins back-to-back Super Bowl championships on Sunday, which I think they will do. That's my early prediction, folks. It's out the bag. If they do, anytime you win back-to-back Super Bowls in the NFL, you are a dynasty, because it's so hard to do that. Heck, we haven't had a back-to-back trip from a team in the Super Bowl in over 10 years. And then you have Seattle doing it. So fun stuff there. But the 49ers, actually, going back to 1995 now, the 49ers defeated the San Diego Chargers 49-26, a lopsided victory in that Super Bowl. Steve Young threw 6 touchdown passes in the game. Wow. Man, oh, man. Again, that happened in 1995, folks. In 2004, Major League Baseball owners approved the $430 million sale of the Los Angeles Dodgers from News Corp to Frank McCourt. So how about that moment back in 2004? And, Alex, I believe we have one more, right? What is that one?
We do, and it's a little bit of a local tie here. Back in 1996, this guy, Lansing's very own, returned to the NBA for the first time in quite a while. Here's the call.
It was the team of the 80s. Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Orlando Woolridge, and Showtime. 5 NBA titles. Magic then won a gold in 92 in Barcelona. But in the middle was the announcement that he had tested positive for HIV. His jersey retired. Magic Johnson would never return. He attempted a return in November of 92, met with strong resistance, came back and coached a while, and tonight is back to play. Nobody believed it would happen.
Nobody believed that would happen. Magic Johnson returned against the Golden State Warriors and had 19 points, 8 rebounds, and 10 assists. So he gets a double-double in his first game back. And hey, I mean, they were saying that was the hardest ticket to get back in the day in LA, that game right there.
I can only imagine. I mean, Magic Johnson. And you know, there's a lot to be said about that, because Magic, again, who took some years off, he was coaching, and, you know, with that whole HIV announcement, it was such a riveting moment, because during that day, I mean, HIV and the education of it was nowhere near what it is today, of course. And there were many that felt as though, hey, if Magic has HIV, he has to retire, because, hey, I'm not playing with a guy who has AIDS. Point blank, period. and or I should say is HIV positive, point blank period. And you know, Magic, you know, during that time, I mean, just imagine if Magic didn't leave the game. I mean, my goodness, who knows? I mean, maybe we'll win a championship that next year or the year after that. Who knows? And it could have been. I always wonder what could have been. I mean, what he was a 5-time NBA champion. Again, who knows what would have happened if he was just continued to play and didn't take that time off. But he comes back. His first game, he has a double-double. I mean, that is remarkable. Just shows you the greatness of Magic Johnson, folks. And one last moment here I have on Throwback Thursday. In 1963, the first members to the NFL's Hall of Fame were in Canton, Ohio. Now, the list included Sammy Baugh, Johnny Blood, Dutch Clark, Red Grange, Mel Hayne, Pete Henry, Cal Hubbard, Don Hudson, Bronco Nagurski, Ernie Nevers, Jim Thorpe, Burt Bell, Joe Carr, George Halas, Curly Lambeau, Tim Mara, and George Preston Marshall. What a class. Those are the first members of the NFL's Hall of Fame in 1963. Alex, I only recognize, man, probably like three of those names because they're. I mean, it's 1963.
Well, hey, Bronco Nagurski. That's the Nagurski. That's the award, the famous award.
You're right. That just hit me. You're definitely right about that. Do you know what position he played? I don't know much about him, but
I believe he was a linebacker.
Okay, linebacker. Gotcha. And I know Jim Thorpe, but everyone else on this list, Johnny Blood. What a name, John. That's a football name right there, Johnny Blood, folks. But what a class, though. I don't know if I've ever seen a class that big inducted to the NFL Hall of Fame, because right now they usually see them like five or six at the most. I'm pretty sure they may have revamped those rules. But what a class. Again, that was back in 1963 on this day in sports. All right, folks, this is our second break. We'll wrap up the show in just a sec, folks. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 87.
I love you, yes I do, yes I do.
Welcome back to Current Sports on this beautiful January 29th. Hopefully y'all are having a great week. The weekend is almost here. One more day, folks, one more day. And you get to max tax and relax and get ready for Super Bowl Sunday. Of course, folks, I'm a little sad now. We're supposed to get Mike Haynes on. Pro Football Hall of Famer. Mike just let me know that he got the time wrong. He got the time wrong. Folks, he was on Mountain Time. He was on MT Time, which right now it's 11:54 a.m. Mountain Time. Okay, that's what MT means. He was supposed to be on. He didn't know it was Eastern Standard Time. Okay, folks. So we won't get Mike on. We'll try to get him on tomorrow. Oh, I really wanted to do that interview, man. He has an incredible, incredible story. We are going to get Mike on one way or another. I promise you, folks. But want to remind you all, with 5 minutes left in the show, that Current Sports TV airs tonight. Again, Ken Manny. What a taping it was last night. Again, a shout-out to all of you who came out to that taping last night at our WKR-TV studios. But Ken Manny, who is the head strength and conditioning coach for Michigan State University, he was my guest, and you can catch that episode tonight at 10 p.m. on WKAR-TV. Well, I tell you what, man, this is an interesting story that we kind of alluded to yesterday, but didn't really get a chance to dive into it. And I want to definitely get Alex's take on this, because I know you're a big recruiting buff, I should say, Alex. And if you don't know, Nebraska defensive end, Deshaun Neal, he is committed to join the Nebraska Cornhuskers when National Signing Day comes next week. The Omaha native gave the Cornhuskers his verbal commit last April and has stayed true to that, even while evaluating other options following a coaching change in Lincoln. Now, Michigan, with Jim Harbaugh and newly assembled staff, have been one of those options until a recent recruiting pitch from the Wolverines turned sour for Neal. Michigan defensive line coach Greg Madison, who opted to stay on board as the Michigan assistant coach under a more reduced role under Harbaugh, he decided to give a pitch to Deshaun Neal, but really stuck his foot in the mouth that led to him being escorted out of Neal's home. Now, according to a quote from Neal's father, Abram, Abraham, excuse me, he said that, quote, Michigan was a powerhouse. They came in and they stormed us. They made one bad statement and it was over. They said without football, Deshaun wouldn't be able to go to Michigan, like we couldn't afford to send him there or that we couldn't get him in academically. Once he said that, we pretty much escorted him out of the house. How? First off, it's kind of comical, one. At the same time, why would you even make that statement in the first place? Alex, what's your reaction?
To be honest with you, I think it's actually blown a little out of proportion.
Do you?
I think there is a degree of respect with recruiting that you're just being down to earth with the guy. You're straight up. And I think that this statement was taken slightly out of context. All he was saying, he wasn't saying that he couldn't afford it. He's not saying he was too poor. He's not saying he wasn't smart. And that's what the dad and the son are telling all these media folks. He's saying, oh, he told my son he couldn't get into Michigan and he was almost stupid. It wasn't anything like that. He was just saying that football will help you get into Michigan. And that, hey, there's a high academic standard. You might be on the cusp. I respect that. And he's saying that, hey, if it wasn't for me right here, you know, this would really help your chance. What's so funny, man? You don't take it that way?
I don't take it that way because, we don't really know what was said.
Right.
In the confines of that home. You know, and that's another thing I think we have to really take into consideration. You know, I would love to be a fly on the wall because I picture, you know, reading that report. Again, this is from NBC.com. Just reading this report, and reading the quote from Abraham, you know, he says Michigan was a powerhouse. They came in, they stormed us, they made a bad statement. I could see Greg Madison coming into, because recruiting is such. It's one of those things where you're trying to do whatever it takes to get this kid to commit to your school. I can possibly see Greg Madison saying, hey, you won't get into Michigan other than playing football, the game of football. So, hey, you better take advantage of this opportunity. And if he did even go that route or even tested that route, it's basically an insult to your intelligence because you're saying you can't go to that school if in any other capacity. Only if you play football on a football scholarship. So I definitely see that.
But that's the thing. It's not like he's going to go to a school and not play football, Al. It's not like he's going to go to any school and not play. I think there's a little bit more to it. We'll discuss it more tomorrow.
Yeah, but
there's more
will.
To this thing.
It's a funny story, though, when you really sit back and think about it. Yeah. All right, we'll dive into that more tomorrow, folks. Thanks so much to all of you who tuned in to today's Current Sports. Want to give a great shout-out to John, Michael, and Austin, our fantastic callers for today. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Happy Thursday. And as always, be easy, people.